Total RL is the home of rugby league. With news, reports and features on both the pro and amateur game in the UK and overseas. League Express is available from your store every Monday and digitally every Sunday night. Subscribe to print and digital versions at totalrl.com/shop. Plus, subscribe to the monthly Rugby League World magazine or available exclusively online. TotalRL.com. Rugby League at your fingertips.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the League Express podcast. My name's Jake Keenan, and joining me as always is the editor of League Express, Martin Sadler, who has a bit of an interesting choice of headwear on your head there. Martin, where'd you get it from?
Well, I was at Bradford on Friday night, Jake, and I was invited by the club to join them before the game and obviously during it. And I'm very glad to say they gave me this beanie, which I'm very grateful for, and I promised that I'd wear it at the start of today's podcast. So here it is. It's, I think, quite a nice design, actually. Mm. You know, it probably makes me look more good-looking than I really am. But having said that, it's a bit warm as well, so I'll take it off now that we've started. But thanks to Bradford. It was a great game as well. They beat Halifax 29-10. Yep. The place was absolutely heaving with people for hospitality on Friday night, which was great to see. And you know, I think I've written in League Express this week that Bradford missed Super League, but I'm pretty sure that Super League misses Bradford as well. So, you know, the sooner they can get back up there, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. What were the vibes like on Friday night? Did it seem like there's a positive future for Bradford?
Oh, I think so. I mean, obviously, there's a massive problem with Odsall Stadium, which absolutely urgently needs updating, redeveloping, whatever. But the good thing is that the club has actually, you know, put a lot of paint around the ground. It's looking a lot more spruced up than last time I was there. The main stand looks actually really nice now because it's particularly well presented. I mean, you know, it will never be a modern stadium in its existing form like we'd like it to be. But I think what's really important is that the local authority, Bradford Metropolitan District Council, they need to get behind plans to, you know, get Odsall up to scratch. It's such an iconic, historic stadium that we need to get it back to, you know, into a form that people can feel proud of. Incidentally, while I was there on Friday night, I actually met three ladies who were there at Odsall on May the 5th, 1954, wow, 70 years ago, when the Rugby League Challenge Cup final was played there between Warrington and Halifax. They were all Halifax supporters. Hilda Hardy was one of them. And they were there on that night 70 years ago when the official attendance was 102,569, although most people think there were at least 120,000 people there. Mm. And, you know, they were telling me about that night and how they didn't see a thing of the game because there were obviously young girls at that time, and you know, the crowd was so enormous that they just didn't see much of the game. But it was still quite incredible to meet somebody who was actually there on that historic night.
No, definitely, and that's over half a century ago.
70 years. Yeah.
And they're still there supporting.
Yeah, and they're only aged 45. It's amazing, isn't it? Wow. No, they're actually obviously that they must be in their 80s now. Yeah. But you know, it's amazing to meet people who have been at historic events, I think.
Yeah, wow. Now, that would have been great fun, mate, and they had a good win, as you mentioned. So hopefully we see them back in the Super League in years to come. Now, we might just do a few admin things. We've just hit 800 subscribers on our YouTube channel, Martin, which is great news.
Great. Thanks to everybody who's subscribed.
Mm, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe so you do get notifications when we upload our podcasts.
Absolutely.
But without further ado, mate, why don't we get into the matchups we saw over the weekend, starting with the Leeds versus Castleford game. Obviously, Leeds won that one 26-6. What did you take out of that match?
Well, Castleford have been disappointing so far this season, but in the first half last Thursday night, I thought they played much better. They played with far more determination, far more positivity, but they couldn't score. You know, that was the thing. Leeds defended most of the half. It was played in very difficult conditions, rain and so on, as it seems to be constantly at the moment. But they just couldn't score, and then Leeds pulled ahead in the second half and won convincingly in the end. But, you know, all is not lost for Castleford. They're still lying at the, you know, near the bottom of the table with no wins from six games, which obviously is disappointing for them. But, you know, who knows? They, you know, they might, I'm sure they'll get some wins as the season goes on. The question is who will they get wins against? Obviously, they'll be hoping to beat London Broncos and Hull FC, I guess. But I think they can also get some others. I don't think it's a lost cause for them by any means.
No, that's right. And I think it's one of those matchups where the scoreline doesn't necessarily reflect how close the game
Absolutely,
was.
Absolutely, yes.
Obviously, Leeds scored a few tries there late. But, yeah, a much improved performance from Cass, I think. And
Absolutely.
We started to see that Leeds spine clicking a little bit there late in the second
half. I think Brodie Croft had one of his best games for Leeds. And, you know, two tries to Paul Momirovsky as well, another new recruit for Leeds. So the new recruits are starting to, you know, do the business for Leeds, and that's great for Leeds fans. And hopefully we'll see what comes of that in the next few weeks.
Well, Gary Schofield was calling for it last week. He said they need to turn up, and it looks like they answered his calls. So.
Maybe they read his column. Who knows?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. In the next matchup, we had Hull KR 34 defeated Hull FC 10 in the Hull Derby. What did you make of this matchup?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it was 28-0 at half time, and my goodness, you know, I feared that it could, you know, the score could double in the second half. Fortunately, it didn't, and Hull again started to play much better in the second half, but they looked out of it in the first half in that game. And, you know, obviously there was a great tribute to the departed Hull KR legend Phil Lowe, and it was great to see both sets of fans joining in with that as well. I mean, Phil was a great Hull KR player, but I think everybody in Hull realises what a great player he was. And they were very generous to him at the start. But Hull KR just absolutely dominated Hull in that first half. Mikey Lewis had a field day. Niall Evels, who's been restored to fullback, obviously, I've always thought he looks a great fullback, and the way he joined the attack, and you know everything he did, I thought was really exceptionally good. And Hull KR were just far too strong for their opponents, and you know Hull just somehow need to find a way to improve. I thought there were signs, you know, for example, that their forwards were starting to get it together a little bit in the second half. Herman Essay, I thought, you know, had an improved performance, for example. But whether they can sustain that and turn everything around in the next few weeks, it's difficult to see at the moment.
Now, I think Sam Tompkins made some comments, might have been during the coverage or after the coverage, that Hull KR, they just don't seem to be showing enough to be serious contenders or a serious threat this year. He believes that they don't quite have the squad. What are your thoughts?
Hull KR? Well, I don't know. They've got to play the big teams yet, haven't they? They lost at home to Warrington, which was obviously would tend to back up what Sam said. But they've not played Wigan or Saints yet. So that will be the ultimate big test. And of course, they play Lee in the next round of the Challenge Cup, which is going to be an interesting test for them as well. So I think we've got to, reserve judgment a little bit on Hull KR, because they're winning games. They're you know, up in the top six. But, you know, we need to see what they can do against the bigger clubs, don't we?
I think Petr Heku is playing a lot better in the centres as well.
I mean, I couldn't understand that at the start of the season, playing him at fullback and now Levels on the wing. That just looked unbalanced to me. But I think everybody seems now to be a lot happier with him in the centre and Niall at fullback.
No, definitely. Moving on to the next match, we had the Saints 12 defeated Wigan 4 in what looked like a great game to be at, a great atmosphere.
A game that sold out 4 weeks earlier, you know, and they could have probably got twice that, you know. I mean, obviously 18,000 is the limit at St Helens. They could have probably got twice that figure, I would think, if they'd had a big enough stadium. Yeah. But it was a hell of a tight game, wasn't it? And Saints came through late to win it after Wigan had taken a 4-0 lead. It was obviously 0-0 at half time. Wigan had that try by Bevan French, very cleverly created by Bevan. But they snatched it near with two late tries, Saints, of course, and the breakthrough try was Tommy Makinson. And it was great for Saints. You know, if anybody was going to beat Wigan this year, it had to be Saints, really, hadn't it? And, you know, it's that degree of competitiveness. Unfortunately, that game was played at a standard that we don't see replicated elsewhere in Super League for the most part. Mm. You know, it was a cut above everything else. And what we need, I mean, it's interesting, you just mentioned Hull KR. We need clubs like Hull KR to be able to perform at that level as well.
Mm.
That's really quite important. And, you know, maybe they're not quite there yet, but hopefully they're getting there.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And there was a bit of controversy around, well, not controversy, but there was some discipline issues from Wigan in that matchup. Obviously, they had two players, Liam Byrne and Tyler Dupree, spending time in the bin. Matty Peat came out and said, look, you know, our discipline just needs to be better. He wasn't making any excuses.
Yes, I don't think Tyler Dupree, I mean, Tyler Dupree has been suspended for a game, I think, hasn't he? But but not for that incident that he was simbin for, for a different one. So, you know, yeah, maybe there are some discipline issues with Wigan, and if they'd kept the players on the field, who knows, they might have got it. But, you know, it's now water under the bridge, isn't it? So you can't, you know, Saints won it and took advantage of, you know, what, those lapses of discipline that Wigan showed.
Mm. And yeah, I can't wait for that rematch to eventually take place. You know,
oh,
just
yes.
Sort of lick your lips when you see
I
that.
I think we might see the rematch in the grand final this year,
yeah.
You know, with those two clubs.
No, absolutely. And then we move on to the Catalans 32 defeated Warrington 24. And this was a very back and forth game, I thought.
18-0 to Catalans after about 15 minutes. Mm. You know, they looked as though they were going to absolutely slaughter Warrington, but Warrington fought back, and I thought, you know, did well to get back on, you know, into the game, but never quite looked as though they were going to win it, did they? They, you know, they're not about. I think Warrington have shown some improvement this year, but again, they're just not quite at that level to challenge Catalans. I mean, we've got the big three, haven't we? Wigan, Saints, and Catalans at the moment. Then we've got a group of six clubs in the middle, and then we've got three at the bottom, Hull, Castleford and London Broncos. It's, you know, three divisions in one, really, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, Warrington are not there yet, but they are getting there. And, you know, it was good to see George Williams on the field and doing some great things as well. And they've still got Leon Hayes in there. You know, I think Leon Hayes is a really potential, you know, a kid with a load of potential who will be hopefully at Warrington for years to come. So, you know, they are doing some good things with some young players coming through, I think.
Mm. His kicking game is sensational, Leon Hayes.
I find
it's like, you know, you wouldn't, with a kicking game like his, you'd think he'd been playing in the league for years and years. And
he's a very confident young man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Very confident young kid, which is just great to see, I think.
Mm. And that's, you know, speaks levels or volumes of, you know, their development system there at Warrington, and he's obviously come through the ranks. So, yeah, full credit to Warrington there.
Absolutely.
And I guess it's also positive signs to see that Warrington did fight back after, you know, being down 18-0 so early in the game.
Yes, oh yeah. And they had to, you probably noticed at the at one end of the pitch they had a very full stand of young kids who had been given, you know, complimentary tickets to come down to the Halliwell Jones Stadium to try and get them interested in watching the club on a longer term basis. And it would have been disastrous for Warrington to have succumbed to a heavy defeat, which it looked as though they were going to do early on. And it was great to see them scoring quite a lot of tries in front of those kids, and the kids really, you know, reacting positively to what they were watching. So hopefully we'll see that some of those kids bringing their parents to future games, and Warrington will get the benefit of it, I hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Great.
Move on to the next matchup. Salford 32 defeated Lee 22. And, yeah, Lee had a bit of a fight back in this one, but Salford ultimately too strong in the end.
Well, Mark Snead is just playing out of his skin at the moment, isn't he? And he's just looking like probably the best player in the league. And, you know, I think he's leading our Albert Goldthorpe medal table. He's, I think, probably leading the Man of Steel table as well. And every week he seems to be doing some great things. And Salford are just an amazing side out there. They keep selling their best players every year, but still they're able to perform at that sort of level, and absolutely amazing. Just great to see them doing so well. Great to see so many players performing at a high level. Lee, interestingly, I thought the highlight for Lee, of course, was Umaila Hanley scoring three tries for the second week in a row, because he scored three in the Challenge Cup as well against Featherstone, and the son of the great Elry Hanley. You know, it's obviously in his genes to be a fine player. He's struggled to claim a spot when he was at Wigan, and he couldn't get. I mean, he's a natural winger, clearly, but unfortunately, he had too many players blocking his way at Wigan, and then he moved to Lee last year, but they had Tom Briscoe and Josh Charnley effectively blocking his way there for most of last season. But he's shown what an excellent player he is, and I think he's come in for a lot of praise from Adrian Lamb, the coach. So, you know, I love it when in rugby league, when young players get a chance. Normally when another player's been injured, they step in to, replace an injured player, and they take their chance with both hands, and Umaila Hanley has done that, in my view. And Tom Briscoe obviously will struggle to claim his place back, and that's great. It's great to see such great competition for places, and I think young Hanley will become a real firm fan's favourite.
Absolutely, and it's always nice to have selection headaches.
Shows
the depth of your squad, and hopefully for Lee in the next few weeks, we might see Asiata and Epape back in that squad.
Well, they need them back. I mean, they're still stuck on 2 points, aren't they? And I don't think that reflects how good Lee are, to be honest. I think they ought, they slipped up right at the start of the season with losing that home game to Huddersfield.
Yeah.
They had that incredible win at Hull, 54-4, but they've had some tough games. You know, they they've got it again this week because they play Wigan this week.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever drew the fixtures up probably didn't do them a favour, did they? I don't think.
No, absolutely not. And you touched on that in your column, how much that week off for the World Club Challenge is probably affecting
them. Yeah, I think that's really unfair. You know, for any club that has to. It happened to Huddersfield last year, and I don't think they ever recovered from it, actually. And which seems an odd thing to say, doesn't it? But you know, you're behind the eight ball, and you've got to struggle to catch up, and you lose a few games by tight margins that you might otherwise have won if you'd not been forced to have a week off. So, you know, it would be good to think that the World Club Challenge could be played before the season started, or, you know, if we could start the season after that game takes place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, the other thing I wanted to touch on from that game, Mark Snead, 31 consecutive goals, and he's 25 from 25 to start the season. Just outstanding stuff.
Absolutely, never misses.
You can't miss. No.
Well, we saw Stephen Ratchford just miss at London a week or so ago when he was going to take the record, and he missed probably not one of the most difficult kicks he had on that afternoon. So we'll see whether Mark Snead can get there. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter to Mark whether they score them in the corner or under the post. He still seems to kick them, doesn't he? So,
yeah,
absolutely amazing player, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Playing as well as he ever has done as well. That's worth saying, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like he reminds me of like the way Daly Cherry Evans is playing. He just seems to be getting better and better with age.
Yeah.
Fine wine.
Yeah.
So, and the final matchup, we had Huddersfield 26 defeated London 6. An improved performance from London, you could say?
Yeah, I mean, I was quite pleased with that result, actually, Jake, because I take part in the Rugby League Media's tipping competition, and I tipped Huddersfield to win by 20, so I got some bonus points for that one. And, I obviously must know a lot about rugby league, mustn't I, if I can get that score right. But, I think London, I'm really impressed with some of the London players. You know, they... young Oliver Leyland, that always impresses me. Only a small kid, but just plays with so much heart and enthusiasm. And, I think that's true of quite a lot of their players, but they've just not got the, you know, the armoury in the forwards to take on opponents like Huddersfield and be in with a chance of winning. But, you know, they took the lead. They were 6-0 up and Huddersfield had to fight back and eventually pull away. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds for Hull KR. For Huddersfield Giants and for London Broncos. And, you know, I'm not convinced yet by Huddersfield, if I'm really honest about it. They're not in the top six. They're in the top nine, but or the top eight actually, aren't they at the moment? But they still lack a bit of. There's something not quite convincing about them yet. They need some more good wins like the one they had at Lee in the opening game of the season to really persuade us that they're going to be a playoff threat this year. London clearly are not going to be a playoff threat this year, but I just hope that they keep playing with enthusiasm and don't get downhearted by the defeats that are obviously going to come their way.
Yeah, definitely. There was a few key championship games that caught my eye. Obviously, we've touched on the Bradford v Halifax game, but we also had Wakefield 20 defeated Featherstone Rovers 12. That was a bit of a revenge game for Wakefield after they were kicked out of the
Challenge Cup. It was. Three tries from Lachlan Wormsley as well, the young Australian kid who Wakefield recruited from Halifax in the close season. He's a potential Super League player, I think, and maybe next year he will be with Wakefield. So, you know, Wakefield fans will obviously be hoping that that's the case. There was a very big turnout of fans. We actually didn't get the crowd figure for that game, I don't think, but it was a big crowd that was there. A lot of Wakefield fans, of course, it's only a very short distance for them to get to Featherstone, and I should think it was a pretty rowdy atmosphere at Featherstone on Friday. But, you know, Wakefield, I think some people are saying Wakefield will go through the season undefeated in the league, which may well happen. You know, they've certainly got the squad that could do that. So it's going to be interesting now to see whether any other sides can, you know, absolutely give them a game.
No, definitely. The other one I jotted down here, Toulouse 20 defeated York 14. Good win for Toulouse. I think York have an improved squad this year.
Well, Toulouse will be a potential threat to Wakefield still. Toulouse don't look to me to have the squad that could, you know, win the championship title this year, but they always seem to, you know, be there or thereabouts, don't they? So I wouldn't rule them out, certainly, and that game when they play Wakefield, both at home and away, is going to be extremely interesting, I think, and one to really watch, and hopefully we might get to see that one on TV.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Now, speaking of TV, over the weekend we had the opportunity to watch every Super League match at a different time slot.
Yes, thank goodness. Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, although I've not seen them all yet because some of them I was actually here working in the office, so I've not managed to sit through all of them in great detail yet. I tend to find now that I spend the rest of the week catching up on games, actually, Jake. So we'll see if I can manage to do that. But yeah, no, and I think the viewing figures are going to be really interesting for those games. But the trouble is, Sky don't release the viewing figures, and we really need to hope that the viewing figures are on the rise this year, because if we're ever going to get a better TV deal with Sky, it will only be if the viewing figures rise and the number of subscribers rises as well, and for specifically for Rugby League. So that's what we've got to hope happens. And, you know, with the quality of some of the games have been really excellent, some not so, I suppose. But, you know, let's just hope that we can see a rise in those viewing figures this year.
I think it certainly helped that a lot of those days that the games were televised, there was great weather conditions on the Good Friday matchup, and Saturday, Sunday was pretty sunny conditions. Obviously, Leeds and Castleford, it was a bit rainy, but it was awesome seeing a dry track out at St Helens.
We've not seen them very often this year, have we? The weather's been appalling. But now we're in British summertime, Jake, so hopefully the weather might take note of that.
Yeah, more to come, hopefully.
Let's hope.
Now, mate, there's, I think you might have touched on it in your column this week around the championship broadcasting coverage. Is there anything new on that that we can reveal?
No, it's absolutely stuck. The Premier Sports wanted to, as far as I understand it, they wanted to cover one game a week and show it on their Premier Sports channel, or one of the Premier Sports channels, and they wanted to stream all the other games in the Championship, which would be six games per week. And the clubs rejected it by a margin of only 7-6 at their recent meeting. But the RFL now have decided not to go with Premier Sports on that deal because the clubs were obviously opposed to doing it. But as I understand it, the deal is still on the table if the clubs want to come back to it. Premier have said, you know, they appreciate that they're not prepared to do what the clubs want, which is to just show one game a week, every Saturday or Sunday, whenever it might be. That's what the clubs would like to see happen. Premier want to show all the games, the majority of them streaming, because they want to get as many subscribers as possible. You can see that from their point of view, the logic of doing that. But the club's response is to say, well, if we agree to that, what's the point of fans coming to games if they can see all the games on a streaming service without having to come to the games themselves? And I've got a lot of sympathy with that view as well. So, you know, it's a stalemate at the moment, and which is a shame, because I think there are a lot of games in the Championship, and the obvious one at the weekend obviously was Featherstone versus Wakefield, that should have been shown on some sort of channel, whichever broadcaster that might have been. And, you know, we're missing out on seeing some of these great Championship games at the moment. So if there is room for a compromise, I hope the clubs can find it, and I hope Premier Sports can find it, or some other broadcaster.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could get another broadcaster to the table just to create a bit of competition.
Exactly, but it was interesting to see that the Sportsman YouTube channel covered the Oldham versus Rochdale game on Sunday. Of course, League One wasn't part of that potential deal with Premier, so League One could go its own way. So it looks as though games in League One can be covered by the Sportsman if they want to do so, and it's great that they do want to. So we'll be seeing League One games, but not Championship games.
As I say, is that the case that we might see more League One games this year than Championship?
It may well be, and you know, if we do, that's great. It's great to see you know, games being shown, isn't it?
And Oldham, obviously, they've got a pretty good squad this year. So
yes, and they had a crowd of more than 2,000 watching them at Boundary Park.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran up 50 points against Rochdale, and I suspect they'll run up a similar number of points against most of their opponents this year. They're far too strong for League One. You know, they it would have really suited them, I think, to have had a merged Championship and League One competition this year. They'd have done very well in it, I've got no doubt. But, you know, I think it's going to be a big year for Oldham, and hopefully their support will grow as the year goes on.
And they recently signed a dual registration deal with Salford, I believe, which is, really good to see.
I'm sure it'll do them good. Yeah.
No, definitely. Now, moving on, we looking at the international game, there's yet to be any confirmation of the schedule going forward, Martin, but I do believe there's going to be an International Rugby League meeting in Singapore in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
What are we hoping to learn from that meeting, or what are we hoping will come from it, I guess?
Well, we're obviously hoping. I mean, England should be playing France on the last Saturday in June, which I think is June the 28th, if I remember it rightly, in Toulouse. Everybody knows that that game is going to be on, or we all think it's going to be on. But there are certain things that the RFL needs to be notified of before they can confirm that the game's going to take place. It's really frustrating. It's only 3 months away, and I'm sure, you know, quite a lot of English fans would probably quite like to spend a week in France, in or around Toulouse at that time of the year, at the, you know, the end of June. It's going to be a pretty warm time of the year. So that game is almost certainly on, but we can't say completely certainly on. It's very frustrating. The French Federation, I don't know whether they've been dragging their heels on giving the RFL the information that they need to be able to confirm it, but my God, they need to get their boots on, don't they, if they are, you know, if they are dilly-dallying. It's just ridiculous.
Mm, because it's, you know, coming up quite quickly. And it is. As we get closer, it, I guess, eliminates time to be able to market the game and attract fans.
Of course. The French very often get very good crowds for their home international games. And I think it'd be quite interesting this year because there are quite a lot of good French players coming through the, you know, coming through the ranks, you know, not just at Catalans, but Toulouse and some other clubs as well. So, you know, you've got quite a few French players in Super League and in the Championship now, and I think they'll give England a fairly decent game, especially at home, closer than we've seen in recent years. I mean, the other thing, talking about the international board, we need to confirm or not whether the Simones are coming this year, don't we? That's the crucial thing.
Yeah.
And again, the RFL is still hoping to get the deal done with the Simones before that international board meeting. So that it can be announced, you know, in Singapore that they will be coming over here in October and November. But, you know, again, time is of the essence. It seems to me they've got to start selling those games for God's sake if they are going to be on.
And the other thing too is if that doesn't go ahead, then we need to give England some time to decide whether they want to take part in the tournament down at the Pacific.
Absolutely, there's lots of things to be decided and. You know, you wonder. I mean, I can't see England going down to the Pacific because I think that the Pacific tournament would have probably started by the time we have our grand final, I would imagine.
Yeah,
so that would make it very difficult for England. But it's Samoa or bust as far as I can see.
And that'd be quite devastating for, you know, England rugby league, especially, you know, with...
Well, it would be disappointing. I'm not sure it would be devastating, but it would be disappointing. There's no doubt about it.
Is there any, I guess, any players this year that have surprised you that you think, you know, could be a smoky, you might say, for an England jumper this year?
Obviously, Michael Lewis is playing very well, isn't he? And he played against Tonga, but was left out in the third test when George Williams came back in. And, you know, that... but I think, you know, he will be a contender again. There's no doubt about that. And, it's an interesting... I've not given much thought to what the England squad might be at the end of the year, but mainly because I'd like to know there are some games to make it worth thinking about that. Yeah. You know, it's very frustrating that we don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I normally only think deeply about something when I know it's taking place. But certainly, Michael Lewis is a very clear one. And, you know, Matty Ashton of Warrington, I think he's looking really potentially strong for one of the wing spots, you know, still quite a young player. I think Niall Evels would be challenging Jack Welsby for a full back spot, to be honest. But I think Jack will be nailed on for an England spot. But it's good to know that a player like Niall is looking as good as he is in that position. So, you know, lots of interesting possibilities. And of course, it's interesting to look in the NRL because Kai Pearce-Paul is playing pretty well for Newcastle and Morgan Smithers is doing similarly for Canberra Raiders. So I think we're going to have quite a good England squad by the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to see if those players would be made available for a mid-season test against France.
I don't think they would be.
Probably unlikely.
I'd be amazed.
Yeah. Would Sean Wayne, is he likely to, if there is a match against France, is he likely to name a full-strength England side for a test match against France?
Yeah. Oh, I think so. I think he'll name his best possible side.
Yeah.
Sean is a great believer in England. He doesn't believe in giving out caps to players who don't deserve them. So although he might not be able to name his NRL players, I think we still have a very strong England side nonetheless. And I think it'd be interesting to see who does make the grade, actually. It's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Now, it looks like, I'm not sure, I haven't seen the exact figures yet, but it looks like the NRL might have broken their single round attendance figure.
202,000 and odd. Yes, they did it when Parramatta and West drew more than 28,000on Monday night. And
so they needed 27, I think, didn't they?
Yes, to break it? And they got 28,000 and something or other. And that's the biggest ever aggregate attendance for a round of fixtures, averaging more than 25,000 per game, which beat the figure for the opening round in 2011. So it's quite a long time ago. But, you know, the NRL is going really well, isn't it, at the moment? It's incredibly competitive, drawing big crowds. I think it had a massive boost by the Las Vegas adventure. And nearly every side apart from Gold Coast Titans looks to be pretty competitive this year, don't they? There's no club now that's undefeated. North Queensland lost to your team, Brisbane Broncos.
One of the Broncos.
At the weekend on Friday. Convincing win for Brisbane without Reece Walsh, by the way, and Payne Haas.
Yeah.
So that was a hell of a good win for Brisbane. But so there's no team undefeated. Even Penrith went down earlier in the season at Melbourne. And there's no team at the bottom with 0 points, although Gold Coast have 2 points, but only through a bye, which they get points for in the NRL. So, you know, disappointing. I actually really like I've always had a soft spot for the Gold Coast Titans, but it's disappointing to see them, you know, getting beaten heavily in their games so far. And I thought it was a real gamble appointing Des Hasler as coach.
Yeah.
And so far the gamble hasn't paid off, has it? And there was some interesting footage showing, you know, Des Hasler giving his players a real roasting after the game against the Dolphins, which they were, again, lost at home by a fairly heavy score.
Mm.
And, you know, that looked old-fashioned to me and not quite in the modern world somehow. So Des has got a really big job on, and I hope he succeeds, because I'd like to see the Titans do well, but my goodness, he needs to do something to sort them out.
Mm. And it sort of went from bad to worse with the injury to Tino Faasuamalao.
Oh, yeah,
ACL
yeah.
injury.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So his season's done.
Disastrous. Disastrous for both them and Queensland, actually.
Yeah.
In that sense, yeah.
It's devastating to see. Just another thing I picked up from that Broncos game, Tristan Saylor was back in the team, played
looked
a very
great.
Good game.
Absolutely and looked great, didn't he?
I couldn't help but think, geez, the Lee Leopards would love to have him running around
absolutely,
in the Leopard jersey this year.
Yeah.
So
they nearly got him, but not quite.
Yeah, that's right. He could, you know, have a big impact on that team. But it looks like I think there was talk in this week that he's going to force his way onto that Broncos bench. So,
oh yeah, yeah, I can certainly see that.
So what they do there will be interesting to see. But in other NRL news, the NRLW it's set to expand to 12 teams for next season. We're going to see the return of the Warriors, who haven't competed since COVID.
That's going to be great for Women's Rugby League in New Zealand, isn't it? Yeah,
and the Bulldogs will also be introduced.
That's right. Yeah,
which is obviously fantastic to see the game.
I think Women's Rugby League has been an absolutely incredible, successful story in the NRL. The NRLW has been tremendous. The quality of the games has been absolutely outstanding, and much more outstanding than I thought they would be, if I'm really honest about it. I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but there's loads of skill, lots of athleticism, some brilliantly naturally talented players, and it's great to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in Stephen's article this week, he mentioned how the minimum salary is around £17,000 for the players. So it's good to see that they're all getting paid as well.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But yeah, really great to see. And I can't wait for the season to kick off.
The NRL is going really well. And, you know, it was all summed up, wasn't it, on Monday morning, our time, when the West Tigers, coached by Benji Marshall, got that 1-point victory over Parramatta in front of that enormous crowd. And, I mean, everybody wanted Benji to succeed at the West Tigers, because the West Tigers have been at the bottom for too long. And now they've won two games. They've had a bye as well. So they're on 6 points with the leading group. And tremendous. I'm a great admirer of Benji Marshall. And he's actually done some quite controversial things in a way, because he's made the point that he doesn't want to be a 24/7 coach. His attitude is that he wants time with his family, so he doesn't want to devote every single minute of every single hour to coaching the West Tigers. And he's doing the same thing with his players, because whereas some NRL clubs start training at 7 o'clock in the morning, Benji and the Tigers don't start till 10 o'clock. And Benji's, you know, philosophy on that is he wants his players to have the chance to take their kids to school, you know, on a morning to be with their family before coming training, because he thinks it puts them in a much better mental state to have that family time. And that's a really interesting thought, isn't it? And so far, it seems to be working, as far as I can tell.
I love it. I think it's great. And also, you know, you start training a little bit later. It also gives these players a little bit more time for a sleep in.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
Sleep's great for recovery and resting your body. So, yeah, really, really happy that he's experiencing a bit of early success there. And, you know, we saw Lachlan Galvin, the young fella there, playing in the halves. He's played his second match.
Looks an absolute outstanding prospect, doesn't he? And what's so interesting is to see a young player like that, I think he's 18 or just turning 19, coming in and looking so confident right from the kickoff. You know, he looked like a player, you know, he was organising players around him, you know, telling players 10 years older than him, you know, where to get on the field and so on. Just looks a natural talent as far as I can see. And I think he's, you know, he's obviously going to be a superstar in time.
Yeah, and that's a daunting prospect, telling someone who's been in the league for 10 years, you need to run this line
that's
for
right.
me or get
yeah,
over there.
That's
or,
right.
You know,
unfortunately for him, he's actually been suspended, hasn't he, for a couple of games now for a hip drop tackle, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I think it was a genuine hip drop, and I think you know he'll probably learn lessons from that, I'm sure.
And I think they're going to bring in that young Latu Fainu, the young Tongan,
who's also had great reviews.
Yeah, so it seems like they've got a good future there in the halves, the West Tigers.
Hopefully, they've turned a corner. There's still a lot of controversy, though, isn't there, about Leichhardt Oval, which is their spiritual home ground, and whether it will ever be improved or not to the standard that's required for NRL games. And I notice the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, last week, Leichhardt is in his federal constituency. And he came out and said, you know, it's about time somebody did do something about this this venue, and it deserves to be improved. And I hope that with him having said that, I hope that something will happen with Leichhardt. Because I'd hate to see the West Tigers not playing there. I know, you know, there's this idea that Shane Richardson, their CEO, has to move them to Accor Stadium, the Olympic Stadium. But my God, that's a soulless place. Yeah. And it's not the Tigers' spiritual home. And, you know, I'd rather they stay away from there, personally. Although I can understand the logic of going there.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, always great to see those suburban grounds packed. And if Albo's backing it, surely something can be done.
That's the big difference between the NRL and the AFL in Australia. The AFL in Melbourne, there are 9 Melbourne clubs, but they only play in 2 stadiums, the MCG and the Docklands Stadium. It's called, isn't it? Marvel Stadium, which are both great stadiums, but they don't have that sort of suburban stadium sort of thing that we have in rugby league. And I think, I know that some of the stadiums are too small now. You know, you've got Cronulla can only house just under 13,000. You know, several of the other stadiums in Sydney urgently need to be made a bit bigger and a bit more modern. But nonetheless, I think it's great to see different stadiums being used in the NRL in a way in which they're not in the AFL. And I think that's a strong selling point for our sport.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, the other rumour that's been circulating a bit over the last week is Mitchell Pearce, who was linked with the Parramatta Eels. Apparently, they reached out to see whether he'd like to come in and fill the void of Mitch Moses, who's down with an injury. Seems like he's rejected them and said, no, I'm happy in retirement.
Yeah, I think he's wise to do that. You know, he's not had a pre-season. He wouldn't be, you know, up to the required level of fitness. so I think he's very, very sensible to, you know, accept the fact that he's retired and it's time for him to do something else, and it's time for Parramatta to give a chance to you know, some of the younger players who they've got on their books, and I'm sure they must have some good ones.
Yeah, seems like they threw water on that fire pretty quickly, and good to see that he's content with his decision to stay retired. Looking forward to this weekend's matchups, Martin. I just want to get your quick picks here. Thursday night, we've got Lee taking on Wigan.
Well, it's hard to see Wigan not winning. It's a strange one, really, because if you remember at the end of last season, right at the end of the regular season, Lee played Wigan, and it was a controversial match because Lee had a try disallowed for obstruction that I thought was a ridiculous decision. And, you know, we saw another of those this week, didn't we, with the Roosters losing to Penrith, when Penrith when the Roosters had a try disallowed for obstruction, when clearly the Penrith fullback wouldn't have got anywhere near, and it just looks ridiculous when that happens. And it was somewhat similar when Lee looked as though they were taking the lead against Wigan last year, but the try was disallowed for absolutely ridiculous obstruction on Bevan, so-called obstruction on Bevan French. So, you know, Lee are very competitive, but they're still missing some key players. So we'll see whether they can compete with Wigan this Thursday. You've got to back Wigan, but, you know, I think Lee will give a very good account of themselves.
Yeah, they'll be up for it. On Friday night, we have Castleford taking on Salford. Who are you liking that one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because, you know, I think that matchup will be a lot tighter than results suggest it should be. Of course, Mark Sneed was a Castleford player at one time, so he's returning to the jungle. And I think Castleford will give Salford quite a close game, possibly. But having said that, Salford have, you know, run up some big scores at Castleford in recent years. So you've got to go with Salford, but I think Cass might be on an upward curve. Hopefully they are.
Fingers crossed. We've got Leeds taking on Warrington on Friday night as well.
Yeah, an interesting game between two teams that both want to be contenders, but have not yet fully convinced us that they are this year. So I think this is going to be a really fascinating... The Leeds and Warrington games are always good games. They always are worth watching, and they're nearly always very tight games, often decided late on. So, you know, I think Leeds might fancy their chances this year, but Warrington, my goodness, you know, this is the sort of game that Sam Burgess will desperately want to win to show that his team is making progress under his guidance. So I think that's going to be a fascinating game to watch.
Absolutely. The third matchup on Friday night, we've got Hull KR taking on London.
Well, only one result, really, I'm afraid, here. Hull KR to win comfortably, and probably by about 30 or 40 points, I would think.
Yep. Moving on to Saturday's matchups, we've got Hull FC taking on Huddersfield.
Well, again, you would imagine that if you run a form line through Lee, Huddersfield won at Lee. Lee beat Hull by 50 points. So, you know, you would imagine Huddersfield running up a score somewhat similar. But I have a funny feeling that they won't do that, that it will be a much tighter game than that form line would suggest. But I still think Huddersfield will win by probably between 10 and 16 points.
Yeah, I agree. And then the final matchup of the weekend, we've got Catlins taking on Saints.
Oh, my goodness, that's a tough one, isn't it, to call? I think Saints might be without Matilise. I think he's been suspended, but they are appealing against it as we speak. So I'm not quite sure what the outcome of that will be. You've got to go with Catalans at home, but to win by a narrow margin while not being in the slightest bit surprised if Saints snatch it.
Yeah, could go either
should
way.
Be a great, could be a great game.
But yeah, the home field advantage will certainly play a role in that matchup.
Absolutely,
you would
think. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Expecting that one to potentially be. Looks like it could be the game of the round. Leeds versus Warrington will also be a great matchup. But
some good games this weekend, there's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Difficult to predict some of them.
No, definitely, mate. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up here, mate? Any other news?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered most things, haven't we? And the only thing that... the one thing that might be worth talking about, given that we've been speaking about the NRL, is this idea that the NRL might play a role in, you know, might take over the English Super League, which is still bubbling under the surface. And Peter Vlandis, about a month ago, made it clear that the NRL is, you know, looking at that with a certain degree of seriousness. And I was talking to somebody this week, who was saying that, sort of speculating a bit on whether this could actually happen. And he was saying, well, if you were going to do it, how would you do it? How would the NRL come and take over the Super League, for example? And he said, well, you know, I said, well, maybe what they would do is buy out the company that runs Super League, which is Super League Europe. and he said, well, maybe, but what could conceivably happen is that the NRL announces that it's going to set up an NRL Europe and invites clubs to bid for franchises. And that would be an interesting one, wouldn't it? Because they would effectively say that they would be putting their branding on a new competition, and all the existing clubs could actually apply to join. And that wouldn't, in effect, cost the NRL anything, actually. They could just come in and if clubs flocked over to them, and, you know, there'd be a lot of financial promises there, no doubt, that would persuade them to do it. Because some of the clubs, some of our clubs are really losing a lot of money at the moment. And they're being, a lot of clubs see themselves as being hampered by some of the things that the RFL is doing. So, you know, I'm not saying that that will happen, and this is pure speculation as to how something might be achieved. But it's an interesting idea, and we'll have to see whether anything comes of it, I think.
You can almost liken it to the LIV Golf PGA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course you can, yeah.
Competition there.
That's right. You know, you set up a separate competition and invite players, or in golf's case, or clubs in rugby league's case, to actually join you and participate. And I think that would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, almost like a little civil war between Super League and NRL.
It happened in Australia with the Australian Rugby League and Super League, and you know, that was incredibly damaging. But whether this would be damaging in the same way is quite difficult to predict.
And you have to think that the RFL would rather, you know, I guess, have talks about merging rather than the NRL coming in and just poaching the clubs, you'd think. So
you'd think so, yeah.
No, that's a really interesting perspective. I haven't really thought about that take. So
Who knows? And very obviously, the NRL, I don't think the NRL would do anything without exhausting the possibilities with the RFL and Super League, you know. But who knows? You know, stranger things have happened.
I think it does have to stay a summer sport over here, though. Return to winter's vibe.
We've seen some absolutely horrible conditions in the first few weeks of the season. Anybody who wants to see games, you know, where fans are shivering and it's belting down and so on, not for me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe something we can delve into in future episodes,
well, yes,
mate.
We'll
continue to see and watch the rumour mill and see if there's any more developments in months to come. But really interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yes, absolutely.
We will remind our viewers and listeners, if you do want to grab your subscription to League Express, head along to www.totalrl.com/shop. Don't forget to subscribe.
And it's the best read that you can have every week.
No, absolutely.
I am a bit biased, though, aren't I?
Yeah, no, that's okay, mate.
You're saying that, yeah.
And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Total Rugby League. We want to keep growing our base until we hit 1,000. That's the big goal for the coming months. We're at 800 or just over 800 now. So
yeah,
fingers crossed we can hit that 1,000 mark before the end of the season.
Well, it would be nice to think, wouldn't it?
I'm quietly comfortable we can do it, mate. So,
am I, yes.
Yes. All right, mate. Well, we'll wrap it up here and do it again next week. Awesome, mate. Thanks again.
Great to see you, Jake. And as you say, next week, see you then.
Awesome, mate. Cheers.
Bye.